keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Once again, I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of Faith Netcast. This is our second venture into IPTV, and I trust you're enjoying our little experiment here. We're working on the technology, trying to constantly improve it, and we'll be doing more along those lines in future episodes. Today, I want to conclude the message that we started last week on the Netcast with the conclusion is the message we'll probably pick up next week and do some teaching live, so to speak, although live is relative since we are recording this. So at any rate, I would encourage you to check out our website. I didn't mention that last week, and I really should have. Our website is wofm.org, and if you go to the website, you'll find that we have streaming media of various kinds there. We have our audio podcasts. We also have the new Netcast available, and we also have articles and just all kinds of resources available to you. And I want to mention that over on the right hand, on the left hand side of the page at the top, there's a button that says donations. And if you'd like to donate to our ministry, we'd encourage you to do that. We are a nonprofit organization, and we encourage you to take advantage of that if you are led in that direction. So let's go into our message where we picked up last week and continue with being a true believer.
At the same time, I just was not fear motivated. And the same thing is true in a lot of areas in life. There's a lot of people, they won't go skydiving. Now, I've never been skydiving, but I wouldn't mind it. You know, wouldn't faze me that much. I'm just not oriented at all toward fear. I've been living a life of faith so long, it's just kind of foreign to me. So I can understand how people can enjoy those kinds of things that other people would say, man, that's crazy. You know, and I'm not, again, let me temper this with some wisdom here. I'm not advocating going out and do something stupid just for the sake of doing something stupid. I'm saying I don't let it weigh on me. I don't let it pull me down to think about what could happen. You know, matter of fact, remember what Job said? Job said, the thing which I so greatly feared has come upon me. And you think about the process. Remember, faith and fear are reciprocal forces. How does faith work? That's teaching right there. We could go on for weeks. But briefly, we meditate on the Word of God. We get the Word of God built down into our heart. What's in our heart in abundance comes out of our mouth. We confess the Word, and the Word of God contains the power that causes the words that we're speaking from the Word of God to come to pass in our life. That's basically the process. Now, take that same process and put it in regard to fear. I meditate on the words of the devil, what he's saying could happen. I get it down in my heart. I then meditate on it so long that it comes out of my mouth, and the words of my mouth reinforce the natural standing that I have as a man on the earth, the authority that I have as a human being on the earth, and it causes it to come to pass. Now, that's the same process, fear, that we do when we all operate in faith. As a matter of fact, if you look at what people that you may know that are constantly operating in fear, if you look at what they're doing and twist it 180 degrees and think about what if I did that with regard to faith, you would see big results in your faith life. Because think about what they do. They sit around all the time and meditate on what could happen. Oh, no. What if I'm in that car accident? What if my children get on drugs? What if? Oh, no. And they're constantly thinking about it, meditating on it, speaking it with their mouth, telling their neighbor or their friend or their family member, oh, what if my kids get on drugs? What am I going to do? Woe is me. And they go on and on and on, speaking into existence what they believe in their heart will come to pass. They operate in fear. And fear, what Job said, that which I have so greatly feared, meditated on, spoken, has come to pass. It's the same process as faith, but it's 180 degrees the other direction. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to worry the word. You've heard that term before. Take the word, get in our heart, in our mind, meditate on it, think about what the word says, think about the fact that we're world overcomers, think about the fact that God's for us and not against us, think about the fact that he surrounds us with protection and with favor. Meditate on that, speak that, operate in that, live by faith. Guess what? Great things are going to happen. Same process, we're just doing it the way God intended it to be used, not the way Satan twisted it to be used. And I say this a lot, and people look at me kind of funny, but let me tell you, it's the truth. Satan has no power. He has only the ability to deceive. If you meditate on that, you'll get a lot out of it. Satan has no power. If he had the kind of power that has been attributed to him, we'd be toast. He'd have blown us away years ago. What he has is the ability to deceive us into using our own words and our own authority against ourselves. I've had people say, why did that young child die? Those poor parents, they're so aggrieved and everything, and the child is dead. Brother Bill, how did that happen? I halfway want to tell them you really don't want to know right now in your emotional state. But if I had to be 100% straight and honest with you, what were they speaking? What were they meditating on? What were they operating in? What does that family surround that family with? Fear. What ended up happening to the child, what they so greatly feared, came upon it. Terrible thing. I was in a situation where I had to tell Belinda that one time. You know, we'd been dating a little while, and her sister's little baby was, I'm not sure had it been born or supposed to be delivered the next day, and the child died. It was a terrible situation. And Belinda was, of course, extremely upset about that. And, you know, she's basically looking at me, how could this happen? And I had to say, well, here's how it could happen. And it was hard. It was hard to stand there and say, this is probably why it happened. But I knew her well enough to know that she really wanted to know. She wasn't being rhetorical, how could this happen? Like, I really don't want an answer. She wanted to know, how could this happen? The baby is innocent. They're, you know, it has no say in the matter. The parents are nice people. Believe me, these are nice people. Some of my favorite, you know, in-laws. great folks. We just were with them at the campground that we go to for the family reunion. And by the way, they have gotten turned on to the Lord, and they're going to church, and that whole family is excited about the Lord and singing in church and just having a big time. Great news to us, you know, because they were kind of marginal before that. And it wasn't directly related to this child. You know, a lot of people would go the direction of, oh, see, God did that to bring them back to the Lord. No, no, no. All of this happened years and years and years after that incident. Had nothing to do with it. But the thing about it is, God's people perish, the scripture says, for lack of knowledge. And sometimes when we share knowledge with folks, it can hurt. But love doesn't say, I've got to be ooey-gooey and I've got to not necessarily tell you the truth. I need to tell you something that'll comfort you. Well, we do need to comfort people, but if they ask us a point blank straight question, looking you right in the face and say, why did this happen? You've got an answer from the scripture. They may not like hearing it, but they'll come back later and say, well, at least, unlike the rest of the world and the rest of the so-called Christian world, you didn't tell me God took him for some great reason. Because all that does in the long run, people think that's real religious and real sweet and that's going to make the person feel better. There may be a moment of time where that deadens the sting a little because it's out of their hands. It must have been God. But give them enough time to think about it, and they're going to realize, wait a minute, why would God want to kill my baby? What's God got against me? Well, I don't want to deal with this guy. I mean, you know, if you knew a next-door neighbor that went around killing people, you'd want to stay away from them. You wouldn't want to run to them, oh, I love you, you know. No, you'd want to stay away. That's reasonable. And yet here's a bunch of religious people telling people out in the world, well, God did that. Well, then I don't want to have anything to do with your God. And I can't really blame them for thinking that. And it's not true on top of that. Satan is the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come they might have life and have that more abundantly. He didn't say life or death occasionally. No, life or that life more abundantly. That's the only choices, life or more life. Not death. God didn't bring that. So, the just shall live by faith, and we don't want to draw back from living by faith. Now, I say all that because I wanted to set your mind in a direction of thinking about what it means to live by faith. Our attitude is shaped by the fact that we live by faith. But there's a point, there's a state that we need to reach in faith that I believe is very unique. And I believe, and I want you to think about this with me. Seriously, I believe a lot of people here at Faith and Victory Church have reached this point and you're not even fully aware of it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, let us fear, and the word fear here is not like shaking, quaking fear, it's respect, if you will. Let us therefore have respect or concern, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel, the good news, the word of God preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now let's think about that. The word of God is powerful. The word of God upholds this entire universe. God spoke the word, let there be light or light be, and the whole universe was slung into existence. Everything we see, everything we have to do with is held together by the Word of God. Yet as powerful as the Word of God is, it can be unprofitable to someone if they don't what? Mix faith with it. The just shall live by faith. We've got to be mixing faith with everything we do. Remember we talked about from faith to faith? We're constantly moving forward in faith. Here's the thing about faith. You don't ever stand still in faith. You're either drawing back from faith, remember God's not pleased with that, or you're moving forward from faith to faith. So what we need to do is move forward in faith. Mix faith with what we hear from the Word of God. Mix faith with the Word and it will profit us. And what are we trying to do? Enter into His rest. His position of rest is the fact that God is for us and He's never, ever, ever against us. Think about that. The God of the universe, the Creator Himself, is for us and never against us. Never. There's not even a flash of a thought to God that He would ever harm us or wish ill of us. Only good comes from God toward us. Wow, that's great. And because of that, we can rest. Now, this rest is more than just going down, you know, laying down and going to sleep. That's not the kind of rest He's talking about. He's talking about a state of calm, of rest, of lack of fear, lack of concern, because you're just at peace, you're at rest. The peace that the world cannot fathom or understand comes from God. We know that. All right, let's keep reading here. These folks heard the same word we did, but they didn't mix faith with the word they heard. Verse 3, for we which have believed, glory to God, we which have believed. Remember, we're believers. It's what we do. It's our lifestyle. It's who we are. It permeates our very being. We are believers. We are true believers. We believe the Word of God. When I was talking to this coworker again, and he was talking about, well, how do you know it's so? I said, because the Bible is true. I don't think anybody had ever stood right in his face, looked him right in the eye, and said, the Bible is true. It is inerrant. And he even asked me the question. He said, you know, you study this. You have a doctorate in theology. Aren't people misunderstanding the Bible? Aren't there all kinds of different ideas about what the Bible says? I said, there are a lot of ideas about what the Bible says, but the Bible says only one thing. The Bible is right. The Bible is true. And then I quoted Charles Capps to him. I love this Charles Capps statement. He said, the Bible's so simple, it takes help to misunderstand it, but throughout the years, we've had a lot of help. We had a lot of theologians that have helped us misunderstand the Bible. And I told him that. He kind of looked at me funny. I said, if you just read it and accept it as it is, it'll make perfect sense. It's not hard. It's really not hard. He looked at me, are you sure? Because he'd been confused by religious teaching his whole life. And he needed to see simplicity. He needed to see true belief. Bare in your face belief. I don't care what you say to me, belief. Because he was saying, oh, I saw this show, and supposedly archaeologists have found Jesus' bones in a tomb. I don't care. Because he was amazed that I didn't care. See, he thought he was going to strike up this conversation about, oh, what do you think about this, you know, and have this nice little conversation. And to find me standing there looking straight in the eye and say, no, it is not true. It cannot be true because of what the Bible says. And he's like, well, couldn't it be interpreted a different way? No, it really can't. When it said Jesus was raised from the dead and that you could touch his flesh and bone and that he ascended to the Father, I don't know of any other interpretations for that. It says what it says, and it means what it says. He was born of a literal virgin. There was no natural male human sperm involved. The woman had an egg that was fertilized by the Word of God. The Scripture is very plain that it was the Word that was the sperm that fertilized Mary's egg. He was born by the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. It's plain. So that's how he became the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. It makes perfect sense. It's not complicated. It's not theological. It's not strange. It's just truth. And if you read it that way and look at it that way, you go, oh, yeah, okay. It just makes good sense. But again, people want to spiritualize it. They want to make it weird. They want to make it strange. You know, if the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, then if I come around later and say I want to take the blood out of Christianity, I can't do that. That is inaccurate. It is incorrect. It is just plain wrong. I can't do that. Now, you say a lot of churches have done that, then they're no longer churches. As pastor would say, write Ichabod above their door. The glory hath departed. Because they are no longer churches. They're no longer believing and preaching the truth of the Word of God. And you say, well, now, Brother Bill, that's awful hard. That's awful harsh. No, it's belief. It's true belief. If I truly believe it, you're not going to convince me otherwise. Well, shouldn't we be open-minded? Absolutely not. We should not be open-minded. Now, I know a lot of people say, now, wait a minute, Brother Bill. Surely we should be open-minded. No. I can afford to have a closed mind on these issues because I'm right. I have knowledge of the truth. I have the Word of God. I'm not saying that to lift me up whatsoever. I'm saying it to lift God up and lift up His Word and to state the truth of His Word. It's not a matter of ego for me. You know, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, what does that mean to me as an individual human being? To make some statement like it's going to somehow, you know, make me out to be some great person. That has no meaning in that sense. The only reason I would state it so firmly is because that's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible teaches. I don't care what I think about it. I don't care what you think about it. I care about what the Bible says about it. And that's it. And if we take that approach to faith, that we know that the Bible is true and let every man be a liar. That's what Scripture says. then life gets real simple. It's easy to live by faith because we know what the Bible says. We can look and we can read and we can find out. All right, let's keep reading. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. See, after God got through creating the whole universe, he rested. And the scripture is really interesting in what it says about this rest. He kind of sat back like, yeah, good job. You know, I mean, he rested in what he had done. And that's the kind of rest he wants us to enter into. He wants us to rest in what he has done, not what we've done. Remember, it's not of works lest we should boast, what he's done. God did it. Now he's rested, and so should we. We should rest in him. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief, in other words, the Jews. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your hearts, for if Jesus had not given them rest. Now see, when Jesus was on the earth, they saw what living by faith was like. They saw how a man truly operating by faith should be operating. They saw how a man fully living in the Abrahamic covenant should live. And so while he was there in the natural, in his earthly ministry, he showed them this rest. Jesus had given them this rest. Then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from him, his. I don't have to do anything in and of myself by works to operate by faith. I have to meditate on the word. I have to speak the word. There's certain things I have to do that are not of me. They are fulfilling what the scripture says, but they're not my efforts to bring something to pass. I just rest in it. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God, here we go, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. That's the whole man. Soul, spirit, joints, marrow, physical, body. So that's all three parts of man. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open into the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. More than ever, we've got to hold fast our profession of faith. We have got to speak the word. We've got to stand on the word. We've got to be word of faith believers, true believers, and live by faith and speak the word. People ought to know us as those folks that speak to things, those folks that are speaking the word of God, those folks that are saying what they expect to come to pass. And, yeah, they may think we're a little squirrely, but they notice that things are happening in our lives because we're doing what the word of God says to do. Verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but we're in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice that living by faith, working and operating by faith in your life, going from faith to faith, makes you bold. You know, a lot of people are upset with Brother Copeland because he's so bold. A lot of people are upset with Lester Sumrall because he was so bold. But I am convinced the more you operate by faith, the more you live by faith, the more you live a faith life, the bolder you're going to get. And it's like, you know, this guy at work, I'm sure he was blown away by me being so bold because it was different than he was expecting. He expected me to go into my theological stance of, yes, perhaps we shall study these things and find out what God hath for us. It's probably what he was expecting me to do. But instead, I very matter-of-factly said, no, that's wrong. The Bible is true, and that's the way it is. Now, from his perspective, that was bold. How could you say that? You're not talking like my pastor speaks. Well, then you need to get a pastor who believes the word. Like we have, praise the Lord, here at Faith and Victory. You know, pastor is, if you noticed, he's not pulling punches. He's getting bolder and bolder and bolder as time goes by, too. And it's kind of shocking him a little bit. But again, I'm convinced the longer we operate by faith, the longer we walk in faith, the bolder we get. Now, I had intended to go to Psalm 91. Let's jump over there. I want to show you one quick thing. I was going to read the whole psalm and take it apart piece by piece, but for sake of time, we won't. I do want to look at just a couple of quick things. Entering into the rest of God is abiding in Him. Verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word abide there is a Hebrew word that means to stay permanently, to be obstinate. I like that. You know, when we take a stand in faith, when we live by faith, when we stay in that position with God, in His rest, we should be obstinate. You know, like the old thing, a set your jaw and don't move. You know, be like an old bulldog, grab a hold of it and don't let go. We're obstinate about staying in faith. We're obstinate about doing the things of God. And, you know, like I said, I was going to go through all these different things, but the key thing I wanted you to see is the last verse of this chapter. Oh, my. Let's back up to verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and deliver him and honor him. Verse 16, with long life will I satisfy him, and God, talking to us, will show him my salvation. God will show us his salvation. And here's what I want you to see. I shared this with Brother Larry one day, and he and I both had a little shouting fit. The meaning of this word salvation that's used right here, where God is going to give us long life and satisfy us and show us His salvation, means to be saved, to be delivered, to be aided, to be in victory. I'm just reading from Strong's. To be in prosperity, to be delivered, to be in health, to be saved, and to have good welfare. Are you ready? It's the Hebrew word, Yeshua. The very name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. HaMashiach is the Messiah. Yeshua, His name means saved, delivered, healed, protected, prosperous, divine health. Every time you say the name of Jesus, you are saying, I live in health, prosperity, victory, deliverance. I'm saved, I'm delivered, I'm set free. That's who we are. Christians are those that are saved, delivered, prosperous, live in health. I mean, think about it. It's wrapped up in everything we are and everything we do. This living in faith and living in rest is living in Yeshua, the state that God has ordained for us as believers. And He says, with long life will I satisfy Him, and I will show Him my rest, my state of Yeshua. My state of being in Him, in Jesus, in deliverance, in aid, in victory, in prosperity. Wow.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.